mean? Just a question, right? So, Isaiah 42. Verse number 6. And it says, I, the Lord, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, capitalized, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand, and I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. That's what God called the Jewish people to be. Right? This is what Isaiah was prophesying. And that's why Jesus, again, said what he said to the leaders. Isaiah 60, he's clearly, the Gentiles are being blessed in Zion. It says, arise and shine to the Jews, or to us, the church, for the light has come. Your light has come. And the meaning Jesus, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Lord, L-O-R-D, capitalized, will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. So lift up your eyes all around you and see. They all who gather together, they shall come to you, and your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Glory to God. We read Psalms 36:9, that in his light we shall see light. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. First Peter 2:9. You may know the scripture, but I love this scripture. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, meaning Jesus. But we're a royal priesthood. So what does that mean? Do you know any? You're a princess. He's a prince. I'm a prince, because we already have one king. That's Jesus, right? Jesus is Lord, right? He's the head. We're all of royal priesthood. Of the tribe of Levi. Of Aaron. Is that? The Paraclete was rent in two. The veil. So now you understand why. Do you know any people that are king, the princes and princesses that are poor? Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially? So, probably. But financially, I can't name of a kingdom. And a kingdom. You know what I mean? So now you see where, you know, prosperity is not a dirty word in the body of Christ. To Jews, it's not. And we get a lot of flack over it, but that's another teaching. I mean, that's for another time. For another time. Let's turn to Psalms. It's verse 6, or chapter 16, and we'll go to verse 11. I had these scriptures written down, but I didn't think I was going to go there, but this is the way the Lord's directing, so I'm going to be obedient, because it's his service, not mine. Ain't mine. And it says, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Because we're of a royal priesthood. She's a princess. He's a prince. God desires not to... I mean, think about this in the natural aspect. I keep trying to reinforce this, but I'm just being obedient. But seriously, think about this. We're all... Well, you may not be a father yet, young man. But mom's sitting next to you. We all have children in this room, I could say, everybody. Or our grandparents or whatever. My point is, would you, as a natural father or mother, would you, or earthly parent, would you want to not have your kids have the best if it was within your capability of giving them the best? meaning a Ferrari if you could. Seriously. Well, how much more God? God's not sitting there with a hammer waiting to hit you over the head. He's not. I apologize, but this is where God's telling me to go with this. But he is not. And it's not, look how great, and I can pontificate and teach and stuff like that, but it's believe his word. Be the light. Be the menorah is what he's telling you. All of us, just be the menorah. Again, Ephesians 5:1, be imitators. Well, we established Jesus as the menorah. God's the menorah, right? Because Jesus only said what his father told him to say, and he did what his father told him to do. Well, that's what he's calling us to do. That's why we're a royal priesthood. We're princes and princesses. Glory to God. Because of what his blood did and the new covenant and the old covenant coming together. So, Simeon, Luke 2, verse 32, Simeon prophesied that Jesus was the light of the world. Did he not? I'm just kind of for time's sake, look that up in your own time. Don't take, like I said, whenever you hear teaching, don't take it because I said it. Go home and study this out for yourself. Because you know what? I don't ever want to miss it. And I could miss it because I'm human. I pray I never do. But like I said, I've caught myself sometimes quoting a scripture, but it's not the same great scripture reference. So I do, you know, I miss it from time to time. But my point is study that out for yourself. So God's lamp is us, man's light. That's why David said Psalms 119, verse 105. He knew Torah. Your word's a lamp unto my feet. And that's why Solomon. Shlomo, that's how you say it in Solomon in Hebrew, said in Proverbs 6:23. The word is light because they would have known this. Because of Exodus 27 and 20 and 3, verses 1 through 3, that the lamp is their lamp and symbolizes the word of God. Right? Because it's God's lamp. You know, if we read that in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. They were referring to menorah as it says in, let's look at this. Proverbs, real quick. 29 verse 18. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Or the word. Why? Because the word is the light. Amen? So if you're not relying on the word of God, what happens is we go down a dark, all of us, we go down a path, a dark path of sin. And that's a slippery slope. It really is. And it leads to lasciviousness. And I'm studying that out, and I like what Brother Copeland, because he taught on that a little bit. But lasciviousness, that's a spiritual cancer. That's how you would describe lasciviousness. When Paul talked about that in the New Testament, lasciviousness, that's a cancer. Because it just eats away at your spiritual growth. So, you know, sin's a slippery slope. That's why you never want to go down that. You know? That's why, you know, that's why 2 Peter 1:19, he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. The word is like a light that shines in a dark place. In Matthew 7:14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there but that find it. So it gives us a picture that the word of God is a torch or a menorah on a narrow path that leads to life, right? Matthew 6:22 and 24 says, the light of the body is the eye. Interesting. If there are the eye being single, the whole body is full of light. Menorah, the word of God. Again, Jesus used that reference because he was speaking to Jews. And they would know this when he said light. Oh, they would go back to, oh, menorah. But if thine eye being evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. Again, sin, lasciviousness, right? If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, you think you got light, but the leaders of the church, what did he say? He called them sons of the devil. Because because they thought they knew the word, but they weren't doing it. That's why Jesus has had Brother James said, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Amen? Amen. Because first instruction God gave Joshua, Joshua 1:8 was, this book of the law, i.e. the menorah, or the light, shall not depart from your eyes or mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. Why? That's the pathway to success. This right here, the word of God. Yeah, but get the butt out. I got a teaching on that. Get the butt out. Yeah, but I don't want to hear yeah, but. It's the last thing pastors Kathy and Jeff want to hear at this church. Yeah, but. I would stop them and say, yeah, but get the butt out. What does the word say? Because that's, well, I need more. There is no more. There is no more other than you've got to do the word. We talked about that. Deuteronomy 30:19-20 earlier. I mean, it's that now we're seeing how this is important, illumination, right? No, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either you hate the one and yet love the other, or else he would hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God or mammon. That's why Jesus said that. So the eye symbolizes ayin tova in Hebrew, good eye. That's what that means, ayin tova. Tova is good, and ayin is eye. Or you can have ayin raha, which means bad eye in Hebrew. So the word of God does what? Dispels the darkness, confusion, ignorance, fear, superstition. Ah, that's a good one. Religion. Now there's a pure, true religion that, you know, they talk about, right? That's the right, you know, when it says true, pure religion, that's what he's talking about, meaning you're right on with the word. It lines up precept upon precept, line upon line with the word. And the dangers of the human situation. So the menorah represents Jesus and the salvation of God. And that's why it says in Isaiah 62:1, for Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness there go for as brightness and salvation, therefore as a lamp that burneth. That's why he prophesied it. That God would not rest until the salvation of his people be manifest as a lamp that burns brightly. Therefore, understanding menorah and who represents it, Jesus, regardless if you're Jew or Gentile, I wrote this down, a note, and through understanding his word, Jesus brings stability and strength to our salvation. He's our anchor. He's our light. He's our menorah. So now you understand. This is to you guys now, when you look at menorah, oh, represents Jesus, represents me. Now you understand that's how it's important to the church, right? I talked about that already, jumped ahead. It is the word of God, which the menorah that continues to dispel darkness. When we see the menorah, whether Jew or Christian, we should immediately recognize the fact that God has ordained the lamp for his anointed ones. That's what we've been talking about. His chosen people. We're saved. We're all saved. Right? The menorah is God's lamp and man's light. You know? Jesus did all this for what reason? That you, in 2 Peter 2:5, that you should all be as lively stones, built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood. We touched on that. Peter said that. Offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Meaning what? Our praise. When we speak his word. When we are doers of the word. Because Hebrews 11:6 says what? What does it say, Hebrews 11:6? Let's look at that. It says, my Bible won't cooperate. You're going to get there. It says, every. Good. Oh, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Again, Joshua 1:8. This is light. Man, this is so awesome. I mean, I apologize, but I could keep going on and on and on. But for time's sake, I'll kind of show some other things. And is that falling off? I was pressing on that. Glory to God. And a little rambunctious. Don't want that falling off. But here, there's so much more that I have, and I apologize. Okay, so God's master plan, right? So when John, let's go to Revelation, you can just, for sake of time, John, Revelation 1:13, it says, John saw the menorah in heaven when he got the revelation of Jesus. Not the revelation of John. You scratch it out in your Bible too, where it says revelation, the revelation of John. Scratch it out, it's the revelation of Jesus. That's what that is. That was misquoted. Okay? But it says, I'm paraphrasing here, it says, but among, you know, I saw the Son of Man standing amongst the seven candlesticks. Scratch it out. Seven menorahs, what he was standing in front of. Interesting. Revelations 2:1. To the angel of the Messianic community in Ephesus, right, here is the message from the one who holds the seven stars, menorah, in his right hand and walks among the seven gold menorahs. It says lampstands again. We're called in Ephesians 5:8 through 14 to walk in the light. So I have another section here, but I'll just say this. Romans 1:16, that it says, verse 10, it says, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek, right? And God's master plan was, we proved that the Jews are to be light of the world, right? But David prophesied what? Let their sleep be slumber upon them. Remember, he prophesied it in Psalms. And then in Romans 11:25, Paul said, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should not be wise in your own opinion. And I don't think I need to, I have a section here, but I don't think I need to teach on replacement theology. I don't feel led that way, because at some churches I've taught this, and the Lord told me to teach on replacement theology, because that's that goofy religion, bad pizza. That's how we say in Chicago. When something's not scriptural and or doesn't line up with the word in Chicago, we would always say, at churches, we would say, that's bad pizza. Must have bad pizza. Just jokingly say that, but that's what that means. But he said, for I do not desire, brethren, that you be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel until what? The fullness of the Gentiles come in. And I would encourage you to read, not take my word for it, but go back and read Romans chapter, start with 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 in context. And Paul even says in there, if I could go back, give up my salvation to get my people to understand, meaning the Jews, I would, but I can't. But he stresses in there, God is not done with the Jews. That's why we got Christians United for Israel. That's why in these last days, for the first time, Jews and Christians are coming together. Because for years, and I don't want to go in that teaching, it's another teaching, but for years, the Jews saw the cross as swastika. They consider that the cross. I'm not being mean, but they did. Started in 1492. Scratch this all out of your history books. Columbus didn't sail the ocean blue. He did because he was Italian, but he was also Jewish. And the Spanish Inquisition was going on. And all Jews either were going to have to convert to Christianity or they were going to have to leave the country. And that's why he left. He took Jews, all the people that were with him were Jews, to the new world. And my wife has done genie.com, which is a Jewish website, and she's a Sephardic Jew, a Spanish Jew, and she can prove through her lineage and studying it for 3 years that she's a daughter of liberty because she had relatives over here during the Revolutionary War, but they had no place to go. They came here. It started with that. And I ask people when they start with this, well, how's that the love of God? You know, so I don't want to belabor that, but if we go to the next slide, I'll show some other points of menorah. So we talked about the menorah is the first seven words in the Hebrew Bible, Genesis 1:1, right? Mm-hmm. So at the bottom here, if you could highlight, no, the bottom, go down to, the, yeah, right there. We need to recall that the words of Jesus, I am the vine, we touched on it in the branches. Notice that there are six branches, the number of men. Now go to the next slide. It says here, the six represents, no.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
He
right there where
your pointer's at. If you can highlight that, it says six represents incomplete in humanity. However, humanity is made whole. Why? Well, we're connected to the Messiah. Perfection. Seven. Right? So if you could go to the top, please, of that slide. Right? There's more teaching to that, but for time's sake, I may do a series one time, but go to the next slide. Okay. So, represents the first 7 days of creation to the Jews. It also represents Genesis 1:1, the first seven letters in the Hebrew Bible. However, it also represents the seven feasts. Every Jew knows this. We'll go from the right to left, because that's how you read in Hebrew. You always go right to left. The tabernacle, Sukkot. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Trumpets, Yom Teruah. First fruits. I skipped over the center one on purpose. Go to the next one, unleavened bread. Pesach. And the center one, interesting, Shavuot. And what happened on Shavuot? Because in Acts it talks about that. It says what? Why? Because Jesus was a Jew and the first people that were saved were Jews. And he knew that he's told them. They were counting Torah. And that's why he said he was going to heaven after 40 days. There was 10 more days. 50 days in counting the Omer, right? Mm-hmm. I said counting the Torah, counting the Omer, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he knew that, being a Jew. And he knew that the Jews, Christians, were going to honor the feasts. So that's why it's important in the church to honor the feasts. That's why we go to churches, my wife and I, we do seders, include Jesus though in it. You know, that's what the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven is going to be. It's going to be the seder meal. Because he says, I won't drink this fourth cup until I go prepare you a place and come back, right? So the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be a seder meal, Pesach. That's awesome. At any rate, so the center one is the fullness of the Gentiles, the birth of rebirth of the bride. Shavuot. You know, it's Pentecost, that's just a Greek word for 50. That's all that is. The true name of that, when we celebrate in the church called Pentecost, we should call it Shavuot. Our church, we just call it Shavuot. Call it for what it really is. But what happened, like Pastor Jeff said, God gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai, but then Jesus gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church on that day. Isn't that awesome? That's why we are the menorahs. He gave us the capability to be menorahs. And the parakeet, the veil was rent in two. Why? He knew this was going to happen. God knew that was his master plan. When Jesus died, and then he came back, in 40 days, he walked on this earth, and he said, tarry here for 10 days. You know why? Because, you know, everyone had their own upper room. Every Jewish family had their own upper room. So he knew they would all go to that upper room. That was a special place, reserved for feasts. And that was Shavuot. And there was a three pilgrimage feasts, right? One of. Shavuot, where they all had a required to go to Jerusalem. That's why then he witnessed and all those people, Jews got saved, and Gentiles. Why? You know, he said, you're drunk. No, we're not drunk. We got the gift. A gift of the center being the Shemash, the servant candle, Jesus, the Mashiach. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, so now we can be the menorahs to the world. Arise and shine, so your light has come. Amen? Amen? Amen. So we've established we're menorahs, we're a royal priesthood. We know we win, but I can't encourage you enough, and I apologize, but the Lord got me on that one thing, talking about stressing the importance of his word and an intake of his word. And just believe in it. Because without faith, it's impossible to believe God. Because you must believe that he is what? A rewarder, and what? A rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. So that means all your need will be met, period. No matter what it is. $1 billion to God or $1 million to God is not a big thing to God. To us it is, but not to God. It's like 10 cents. I mean, I'm not being making light of it. But it really is in God's eyes. You got to look at it that way. You know? Well, if you cut your finger or you have cancer, it's the same thing in God's eyes. It shouldn't beat her. Am I right or am I wrong? Amen? So thank you. I went a little winded tonight, and I wanted to shut her down, but I hope I didn't offend anybody by my time. But at any rate, there's more to it, but, well, I'm not going to do Brother Copeland yet. I'm not going to do 3 hours and then a 45-minute offering, and I love Brother Copeland. But I will tell you this. Autumn Assembly, anybody here at Autumn Assembly this year? Billy Brim's Autumn Assembly? They won't ever give that tape out. But he started at 3 o'clock Sunday night, and he stopped at 11:30, and he took a biological break. Brother Copeland goes, you know what, I want to keep going, but I got to use the bathroom. He said that to Dr. Billy, so we all took a 20-minute break or half an hour break, and we all came back. But he taught from 3 to, 11:30 at night. And he said, we are not recording this. It was phenomenal. It was pretty much... The closest thing I could tell you is I encourage you to get the book by Brother Seville, in the Footsteps of a Prophet, about his life getting saved, working for Brother Copeland's ministry and then starting his own ministry. I read that book about 10 times, and I learned something every time I read it. But you know what? You just learn so much that he's a godly man, and what he's done for the body is just praise God that he of his perseverance. And he still does a lot of persecution for the word's sake. But that's what it's because of the word's sake. Amen? So the last thing, did you want to do any announcements or anything? Okay, I always want to bless. So I did this last time, and I know I'm so awesomely blessed that your church does the things of your heritage. That pastors Jeff and Kathy do the things of your heritage. It's not a Jewish thing. It's your thing. It's God's thing. It's not. See, it's like, well, that's a Jewish festival. No, it's God's. In other words, you got to change your terminology. Again, I don't want to get on that, but ultimately, it's not got Jewish calendars. God's calendar, number one, right? And it's God's feast, not the Jewish feast. Amen. And I'm so encouraged that you guys do this. But, and then I got a teaching on this too, an extensive teaching, but the Berkei Kohanim, there's a real reason of, he says, lift up his countenance, number 6, 24 through 26, but 23 says, and this is what you tell Aaron and his sons, the meaning of the priest, how you bless my people. God was specific, my people. Well, you're his people, right? So, being a Kohanim, a priest, and he's a priest, and we just established we're of royal priesthood. We're all priests, right? Well, I'll bless you. So, verse 26 in the original Hebrew, though, it says, the Lord lift up his face towards you. There's a different meaning to that. We touched on that, and I'll teach on that another time. But this on the front of this, for time's sake, but this is the Talit, but this right here is called the Atara. Right, or the main portion of the Talit, right? And what you do is you say the blessing, you speak the blessing over this, and you say Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu L'Hitatif B'Tzitzit. And in English, it's Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the Universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and has commanded us to wrap ourselves in tzitzit, which is the talit, right? This is the crown right here, the atara. Mm-hmm. And that's why you speak the blessing over it when you put it on. And then I'm going to speak the blessing over you, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor. And if he wants to preach another 2 hours, that's his call, but he'll be led by the Lord. It's up to him, right? And there's a specific way you just put it on. And I can say it, but I like to sing it because that's what they do in synagogue. And I just like singing it because, to me, it means more. So I'll sing it to you. Sing it. Unto the Lord and bless you. And this, again, as I told you guys last time, but this represents the letter Sheen. And when the priest would do this up until the destruction of the Second Temple, the glory of God would shine through their hands. That's why the Jewish people put their hands over their eyes like this, or they'll stare at the ground, or do both. And I encourage you to do that, or just close your eyes, but focus on what the blessing God's giving and imparting upon you. That's what that's all about. And that's why they wouldn't look at it. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom. I love you, Mishpacha. I love you, family. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, everybody.